Ask the Podcast Coach for October 24th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It is Saturday morning. It is 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's your time to get your podcast questions answered live on Ask the Podcast Coach. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting. And joining me, as always, the Robin to my Batman, the peanut butter to my jam, the one and only Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Morning, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. I'd rather be the jelly to your peanut butter, but I like jelly better than jam. So that's
right. Butter and jelly. That's true.
I don't know. That's just my
preference. Which one has it's like just chunks of stuff? Because I like the stuff you can spread.
What about that stuff that's swirled where it's got peanut butter and jelly in the same?
That's, you don't like that? Oh, it takes all the work out of it. There's a prime example of listening to your audience that people said it's too hard to spread jam.
All in one stuff. Because it's too hard to have two jars. You got to do it all in one. Maybe let's say back to our podcasting discussion. We were in the pre-show talking about adding music in and how do you do that? Maybe we'll come back to that question, get all the rest of the opening stuff done.
Yeah, we were, my goal today is not to be distracted by the chat. That's going to be tough for me because I still want to comment on PB&J on fire. we were talking about the fact that, you know, this is streamed via Blab. And you can find it every week. If you ever wonder where it is, just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And last week we had Hanny on from the simplelivepress.com. And I have news. That's right. If you ever want to buy that, use the coupon code SOP20. And you can now get a discount on that. But we were talking about the fact that Todd Cochran on the new media show, I guess it should be more specific, doesn't have an intro music. And so the fact that you don't need music, we were talking about music. I know Stargate Pioneer was asking about how his sounded like it was underwater. And we were talking about it kind of depends on, you know, I know in Google Hangout, when we're using Google Hangout, man, it just squashed, you know, compressed it. It's kind of sounded, we were calling it the underwater effect. And so that's why I actually record this show. I go into a mixer. Jim goes into the mixer. The iPad goes into the mixer. And everything goes to Blab in this case, not that we're on Blab. But it also goes to my portable recorder. So that way, when you hear the recording of this, it's crisp and clean. So
we've got to remember that when you are working with Blab. So Dave and I is what you're hearing on this. When you're doing that, they're doing some code work behind the scenes to make sure that our audio is working together, but we can't have two audio streams at the same time. It doesn't work in the codecs. So it's going to sound like if Dave and I tried to talk at the same time, it would be this squishy. You wouldn't be like, we're just talking over each other. It would be this squishy, weird, you know, kind of sound. Same thing happens with your audio. If you're trying to play it in through a different channel or something, you know, just depends on your setup on how it's done. But so, you know, my recommendation for podcasters is if you're doing live, just skip the music in the live show. This is what I do for all of mine and add all that music post-production. The reason I recommend that is you just get really good control over your music that way. You can really kind of set when it begins and ends. Live's hard enough as it is, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, that you want to remove as many distractions as you can during live, especially if you're new to it. And so my recommendation is if you're going to do live, save the music and the sound effects as most you can, except the buzzer. I love having the buzzer. You know, when we talk about this place, this platform, you get buzzed here for doing that. So I love having that in the live show. But I think any other time, if you're going to play long bits of music, save it for post-production.
Yeah. And we had a quick question in the chat room about, since we're talking about music, you know, are there any great resources? I'm a big fan of, Audio Jungle. If you go out to podcastingresources.com is a domain of mine. There are all sorts of places out there for music and voiceovers and themes and anything like that. Everybody's saying I thought I was going to stay out of the chat room.
We got to watch the chat. I mean,
watch the chat.
It can't. We're just Dave's intentionally working on not having squirrel moments today where he jets off on that. Dave, this is where I like SoundCloud, and I actually think SoundCloud, this is what it was intended for, is I think finding indie artists who don't have a label, aren't assigned label, and have some really interesting music. You can go out to SoundCloud, listen to some of those, and then it's super easy to contact the musician on SoundCloud. That's what this platform is really good at, not necessarily podcasting, but it's good at this. And then contact the musician and ask for permission and make sure you gain that permission. And you might even want to have it in an email, so you've got it in writing from that standpoint. Get them to do Creative Commons on it, so it's done at that point. And you can put the Creative Commons license in. And this is what I do. I put the Creative Commons licensing in every single post that I do and give them credit for it. It's great for them because they get exposure. It's good for you because you're getting original music in a lot of cases. And so that's one of my preferred methods. I've also used, my kids have been in bands, and I've used their music. I've asked them, they haven't been signed, and I asked them, hey, can we use yours? So indie music is a great way to go. And I know there's a whole bunch of other places you can go and buy it if you want to, royalty-free, stuff like that. But man, support that community if you can, because there's a lot of artists out there who are doing a lot of great stuff. And they're like us. They're independent podcasters. They're struggling. They're trying to get listens. And so they'll be super motivated to work with you. Find ones you like, or if you find one you like on SoundCloud, have them create one for you specifically that they never publish anywhere. And say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Would you create one that you never publish? And it's just a great way to... The other trick on that, Dave, is I always play that music into YouTube. So I create a YouTube video out of it. So I can upload just the music, put a little header on it, put monetization on it, and I leave it for 30 days just to make sure YouTube's not going to pick it up. Like there's not something scary in there that the algorithm finds from that standpoint. So little test. Just get it on YouTube, play it. If someone's going to find it and whack it, it's going to be YouTube. So a couple little suggestions there.
Yeah, I never will forget, we on the podcast review show, we were playing samples, and we always play like the first 2 minutes of the person's show. And this person had some sort of gospel music as their intro. And I put the video on YouTube, and it was like, I think I got whacked in Germany. They didn't whack the whole thing, but there were certain countries that they couldn't play that in. And I was like, I had no idea that was, I'd heard of that technology, but that was the first time I was like, oh yeah, they're not kidding. They can, somehow listen to the song and it's like Shazam, basically. It's got a built-in Shazam or whatever. But I the last two episodes I was listening to Ask the Podcast Coach, and we had, last week Jim had some minor technical issues, and the week before we had one person that kept trying to come into Blab, but they couldn't. And so as I'm doing the show notes for Ask the Podcast Coach, I basically took that stuff out where we're like, okay, we'll see if we can get back in. All right, still not. We took that kind of stuff out. And so that's when I realized, listening to myself, that there are many times that I'll be in the middle of a sentence and I'll go, can you explain getting whacked by YouTube? Right, I'll do something like that because it's in the chat room, not finishing my point. So we were talking about, I need to not be so, it's easy to get distracted by the chat room, but I need to finish my thought. And so in this case, my thought was, you can learn a lot by listening to your own podcast. But to answer that question, getting whacked by YouTube means they took my video offline at first. Yeah. And they said, you're using, unlicensed music, and you basically,
they'll send you a nice little note that says, hey, what you've uploaded has is licensed and you can't use it. And so it depends on who and what. They'll actually tell you who owns the rights to it if they can figure that out. Hey, this is owned. This will often happen if you play TV on your, in your YouTube channel. Now, it does seem like they've been getting more and more laxed over the last couple years, because I see a lot of videos out there that got a lot of stuff in it. We a couple years ago, I was a part of a running community, and we had the race organizers were live streaming the finish line, which I thought was really pretty cool. So people could watch people finish, and they were playing, a DJ was playing music, in the background, and they live streamed it and then pushed it to YouTube for people who wanted to watch it. And YouTube took it down, said, you can't do that. There's too much. So they had to re-upload it with all the music removed, so people could watch that. They basically just took all the audio out of it to get it removed. So YouTube will let you, they'll let you do some stuff, but when you get whacked, they're coming in, they'll say, you need to take this down. it really happens when you put monetization on it. So if you have a video out there, as soon as you set the monetization options, then it really kind of kicks in that algorithm where they review it, usually within a day or two. I said 30 days. That's just kind of, I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. But usually within a day or two, sometimes within an hour, they have a pretty hot algorithm that goes through and finds that stuff. So it's just a good test. Throw it on YouTube. Make sure it's going to work. Throw monetization on it. Keep it isolated. That's what I did. We did, who was it? I was starting a new podcast with somebody. Let me think about this for a second. And, oh, it was when I was doing the new Cyber Frontiers. And one of the guest hosts on there had a cousin that did some music. And I said, have they ever published it? No. You know, is it ever been on a label anywhere? No. Okay, well, let's just try it. So we took a slice out of it, put it on YouTube. It's still sitting out there. You can listen to it. I don't know why you would, but, and I have, just in case. So that's getting whacked by YouTube.
Yeah. And someone had asked in the chat room, if I'm using a musician from SoundCloud, why would it get whacked? Well, just because they're on SoundCloud, you know, you can be, if you're on like cdbaby.com selling your music, which also gets you into iTunes, you can, you know, there are, just because I'm playing a garage, I can still be licensed with ASCAM and BMI because there are, you know, college radio stations and things like that that will play your music. It doesn't happen very often these days, unfortunately. It's hard to get your music on the radio, but if you do, you want that back end. And so there is that potential, we should say.
Yeah.
That it's just, even an indie person could.
It's doing an audit, right? This is what this is. It's just because they're on SoundCloud doesn't mean they haven't done something or they don't know they've done something. They don't know. Maybe they signed their music to somebody else and they didn't realize that that was locking it down. And so the other thing you're doing, the algorithm that the service that YouTube uses is a robot, right? It's a machine. It may get it wrong. And so this is my point. Right or wrong, if they flag you, there's this whole process you have to go through to get unflagged with it. And it's kind of a pain. And if you start embedding that music in your podcast and then you're pushing it to YouTube and they flag it every time, do you really want to deal with that? So it's not a matter of checking the guy on SoundCloud. It's a matter of making sure the services on YouTube aren't flagging that. So it's just a good step, right? It's one of those kind of things before you use it. Throw it on YouTube, make sure it's not going to get flagged from that standpoint. And it's just a good check.
Jason asked at audiojungle.net, what license do you use? So of course, since I'm going to answer something with somewhat legal ramifications, I'm going to say I'm not a lawyer. And you should always ask a lawyer for legal stuff. But I see right here, music broadcast, 1 million audience size. Well, I don't have a million downloads. I can see where copies of downloaded or physical products, well, that would be a podcast, up to 10,000 copies or downloads. I don't have 10,000 downloads. So Mike will get to you in just 2 seconds. Let me finish my thought. I'm thinking it's the music standard. Now I see where they have a CFAQ for more examples, but I'm going to guess it's just the cheap one, for lack of a better phrase. And they're pretty. I've used their stuff in the past. I'm at their page, and I'm going. If you guys don't know this trick, when you're on the internet, go Control F, and it brings up a find. And I'm doing a search. Can I use music in an audio only end product such as a podcast, audiobook? It's in their FAQ. So I just searched for the word podcast, and it took me right to that. And here's their answer: yes, as long as the audio only end product is larger in scope and different in nature than the music itself. As a rule of thumb, the music alone must not compromise the primary value of the end product. Isn't this so legal speaky here? And should have speech overlaid and interspersed throughout. In other words, you just can't put out a podcast of the intro music. You can never distribute the music track as is or with superficial modifications. So, example, you can use relaxing music background to underscore your guided meditation voiceover recordings and sell a CD of this to your... So, basically, you can't sell the music. So what does the music license mean by most web uses? It includes general online and streaming only purposes, such as using the item in an end product uploaded to YouTube or video or Vimeo, displayed on your website as part of a browser-based game. It does not include online broadcasts. And this is where it gets tricky because it says internet TV, internet radio exempt. See, that's the tricky part. Or use in on-demand or customize your product web app. See, that is a little blurry.
Another good reason not to use music if you don't, right, for a live, because this streaming is a lot different than you publishing out through an RSS feed. It's the law sees it. So, and again, it's all up to interpretation. So Mike Wieger's joining us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Dave, Jim?
How are you, my man?
Doing pretty good. Just had a few questions. I'm helping two people out who are just starting podcasting. And of course, I gave them the link to your guys' show. I said, hey, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, they'll be a good source for your answers. But one thing that I've been working on, they asked, hey, what about Squarespace? I've been working with Squarespace. And like, we know it. Would that be a good platform? And I used to be on Squarespace. Jim brought me over to WordPress. So I was on WordPress for the past, 3 to 4 months. And actually just yesterday, I was like, I got to be a good tester. I switched everything back to Squarespace. I said, let's go back and retest it and kind of see where they're at. Because before I ran into some limitations with them on podcasting. But Dave, I know you have kind of a checklist that you run down with certain services and if they meet your criteria. And I have to say, when I went back to Squarespace, I was surprised they've gotten a lot better for podcasting. I just didn't know if you've looked at them in the past or if you've looked at them recently to see if they're a good way, because they're extremely easy. I mean, for someone who doesn't know anything about web hosting, anything like that, it seemed to be like a good option.
Well, Mike, you make a great point. Just because something was bad a year ago doesn't mean they haven't updated. So to answer your first question, no, I haven't looked at Squarespace recently. I kind of want to. I have a couple domains that I might be building websites on, and I thought, maybe I should go back and look at Squarespace. I've yet to hear anybody say it's so easy for podcasting. I know you can, you can use them as your media host, which I've heard, but I've also heard that their stats aren't that great. And
Mike,
I know
what plan are you using with that?
I use a standard plan. So the $8 a month if you pay annually, or $12 a month if you pay by the month.
And the other thing that usually happens with people that are using Wix or all these other platforms is they hear about this really cool plugin and they go, how do I add that plugin to my website? How do I add, my appointment calendar to this or that? And I'm like, yeah, it's a WordPress plugin. They're like, great, how do I use that on Squarespace? And I'm like, you don't. So you're kind of limited to, what Squarespace can do. And so hopefully Mike will get in here.
We hear that a lot, Dave, in this community. A plugin will come in and, with Hanny's plugins. Like, well, what about Squarespace? And it's kind of wah, wah, wah. Because there isn't, Mike, there's not a big plugin community or even a big community around Squarespace.
You can't add those plugins.
No. You can add JavaScript code, though.
I put in the talk.to.
Yeah, it would work.
I put that in.
It would work just fine because it just uses JavaScript code. But you are limited from that standpoint, and there isn't the community. I mean, WordPress has such a gigantic community around it that there's lots of help and support and those kinds of things around it. But that's interesting. That gets me thinking. I should probably have a podcast on Squarespace to what Dave was saying, just to be like, just to say I can do it. Mike Dell's going to come in and say what he wants to say is, their RSS feed is not robust, right? The feed they give you out of that, if you're trying to use theirs, he's going to tell you it's not robust and fully qualified and some of those other things.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because they've gotten a lot better with their iTunes tagging in their RSS feed. So when you go, all you do is create a blog in Squarespace. They call it a blog instead of a page. You add the blog in, and then the RSS tags for iTunes are you fully customizable per blog. So I have my Suit and Scrubs podcast and Open Mic Night as two separate things. And it was actually, I guess my overall thing was, if you're not looking for plugins and all that sort of stuff, it's extremely easy. Plug the stuff in. It gives, I thought it gave a good RSS feed, but I'd be glad to hear Mike Dell's take on that.
It's not a terrible way to go. And like I said, if you want easy, that works. Yeah. But there's a lot of options that aren't available to you with that feed over at Squarespace. So first off, there's no way to put any external statistics.
Oh,
so you can't use Blueberry, you can't use PodTrack, nothing like that. And we've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to talk to them, and they absolutely ignore us.
Even if when you put in your external, so I don't host my files on Squarespace. I use MediaFire. But even if you put in the wrapper on that external link, it wouldn't put in the Blueberry stats.
I wasn't aware that was possible. So now I'm learning something.
Oh yeah. The external links, like when you add in the audio file, it says, hey, do you want to store it with us or do you want to do an external link? And so I just put in all my MediaFire links, which I was guessing you could put in the,
you would be able to do it that way. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah. It works out. That's what I was talking about with like new things that they've been able to add in that when I came back to them yesterday, I was going back and forth and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to make the jump. So it took me, you know, all of an hour and a half to just go in and replug in all my audio links, but it imported from WordPress. It exports if you ever want to get out. That was how I originally went over to WordPress. So it has all, if you're not tied in, which is what I like. I know for Dave, that's a big thing of, hey, give me control to leave and
come back. Well, that was my whole thing. Can I redirect the feed if I use their feed?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, because that's
I think if you ask them, they will redirect the feed. But yeah, that's good news that you can externally host. Now, there's no way to use those redirects if you're hosting on Squarespace, your media.
Right, exactly. But I thought their stats, you know, people give them kind of slack for their stats, and I agree they're not the best. They're definitely nothing close to Libsyn, Blueberry, anything like that. But their stats actually aren't bad. They've got a new RSS subscriber stat that works out pretty well. You can see everyone subscribed there. And just overall, I was kind of impressed when I went back. So I didn't know if you guys had ever looked at it in the past maybe 2 months, because I left them 4 months ago and I kept my personal like business page over there, but I had moved all my podcasts. Now, the one limitation is that the reason I left Squarespace was no video. So if you have a video feed that you want to create, you cannot do that in Squarespace. It only does audio feed. So that was originally why I left, and that's still a limitation. You can't do it. But if you're looking to do just audio, I don't know. I was just looking for any sort of warnings I should give this couple that I'm working with and say, hey, if you guys ever want to do X, Y, and Z, that's not going to be possible. I know the plugins and stuff like that, and a lot of those like Simple Podcast Player and all those plugins won't work. But
well, and my other thing would be, can I make like schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes? Is there any way to make a redirect?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So in there, there's the URL mapping. And I kind of like the way they do their URL mapping. It's not real easy, but it gives you instructions right up top. So when I switched over, I just went in and put, hey, my old, you know, /feed/audio that PowerPress gives you, I just said redirect that to whatever Squarespace makes my new RSS feed. And it worked right away. I had zero trouble. iTunes picked it up right away. And in their settings, they have, hey, did you just change your RSS feed? And you type in the new one and it, you know, sends that new URL tag to iTunes, so they know right away to update. Worked out pretty well.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely look at that at Blueberry, because you know, last I heard, none of that was possible. So I'm impressed. We'll have to go back and relook at that.
Yeah, that's me. I'm like, I just added to my list things to do in the future. Check out Squarespace again.
Well, if you guys ever need a test site, you guys can always ask me, and I can plug around and play with stuff if you ever need that. So.
Cool. Yeah, contact me over at Raw Voice sometime.
Okay.
I'd like to pick your brain about how to implement the redirects.
Yeah, I would like to too, because I love the Blueberry stats. That's what I'm going to miss right now, and I didn't put the wrapper in to start because MediaFire gives me a rough number, and honestly, I'm not looking to get too detailed of stats. I'm like, well, you know, it's something I'll try and play with in the future to see if I can get it to work. So yeah, I'll hit you up on Raw Voice, and we'll see if we can get that working.
All right.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right. Mike, where can we find your show?
2980network.com.
That's where. 2980network.com.
Yeah, 2980network.com. That's where Suit and Scrubs, my marriage podcast with my wife. And then it's kind of just a comedy show. And then also Open Mic Night, which is the Apple Focus podcast. And then also I co-host with that guy up there. So on his network.
Awesome. Thanks, yeah. Mike. Have a good one.
We're getting a little echo.
Are we getting a little echo?
Yeah, I don't think it's you, Mike. It started when we came out with Mike Dell. You don't have your speakers on, do you?
No, I think I might have you on the wrong mix minus
channel. Wrong setting.
Anyway, I got to get out of here anyway.
All right. Thanks for jumping in, Mike.
Yep, see ya.
All right, take care.
Okay.
You know, I've got this podcast. Yeah, it was Mike Dell. I've got this podcast I've been working on. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's a 3-minute podcast that we do every other week for Silicon Prairie News. And we just finally decided, you know, we did 3 episodes that I put in a regular in my home tech tips feed to just kind of test, get some feedback on. We weren't going to create its own feed. And so this week we decided, okay, let's make this official. We're going to roll this thing out. We'll get it on iTunes. I'll create my own feed. But So I started a new feed, a new category to make it work at theaverageguy.tv. But now I'm kind of thinking this would be a perfect opportunity to take this podcast to Squarespace and use it, because we're just unsure of it at this point. And so that for me, maybe it's time to kind of take a look at second. And again, we got plenty of WordPress fans out there that like are, no, you know, don't go to the dark side. It's like when we use Blog Talk Radio, but it's a good opportunity for me to give that a try and move it over, give it its own feed.
I think Mike said the key there, if you want to keep things simple.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is most of us start off simple and we, you know, we're happy here. And then we see somebody else doing this and you're like, oh wow, they added an AWeber thing to their, you know, to their newsletter. How do I do that? Or whatever it is. And then that's one other thing and one other thing and one other thing. And next thing you know, you can't do that.
Well, it's also $8, which we know how podcasters are cheap, right? So, you know, it's like, that's expensive for a lot of people. I mean, they balk at the $20 for hosting, for media hosting. And then they're, you know, they're maybe paying $2 or $3 because they're on a cheap GoDaddy account. So this is $8 a month. So this isn't like, I mean, you're paying for the convenience of having a very easy, and it's been a while, but when I was on it, their easy wasn't my definition of easy. It was still because options equal confusion, and there were way too many options there of things you could do. And so, you know, but I'm going to give it a try. I think I'm going to, just so I can talk about it.
We have a question here from the Classy Podcast, Classy Little Podcast, I believe is her full name. I finally put a bunch of clips on Clamor, and then my download numbers jumped. When someone listens to a Clamor, does that count as a download? What it is there are two things going on. Clamor makes a little 18-second clip that does not count as a download. When somebody clicks on listen to more, then it does. And I was looking, my phone must be in my pocket, because somebody asked for a Clamor demonstration. I will put that on my list of things to do today. Over at the Clamor Cast, we need a demo of Clamor and a new one, because I'm sure there was one when they first came out. But there's some really cool stuff at Clamor.com you can do on the web now. And it's now Clamor, in case you're like, what the heck's a Clamor? It's a way for video to kind of go viral. The idea, easy sharing. It's an 18-second clip. And with the Simple Podcast Press player, there's now a Clamor button. So if you're listening to the show right now, you can hit pause and hit the Clamor button, and it would launch it right into Clamor, and you can make an 18-second clip of this show. And so, yeah, you only count as a download when somebody says, listen to more. I have yet to see Clamor in my download stats. I don't know if they would show up as Clamor. I don't know if they would show up as iOS. I need to talk to Rob and the Libsyn people to see what the heck. Here's something, to see what that is. I in fact, I'm a little behind on my Clamors because I switched to Overcast.fm. And oh, here's a cool thing about Overcast. If you put timestamps in your, your show notes and do nothing to them. Now, I use Simple Podcast Press, so they're clickable on the website. If you do nothing to them and listen to them in Overcast, they're clickable links. I went, dang, that's cool.
That is sweet.
So if you're listening to this show on Overcast, look at the notes, and you'll see where you can jump right to every question and things of that nature. And also, while you're there, I see this thing. If you share this show or any show on Overcast, they're making a list of most tweeted and recommended kind of thing. So it's not
I just tweeted this week one out Overcast. I was like, oh, let me try this. And so you have to connect it on your phone to make it work that way. But I've been using Overcast this week at the recommendation. We've been talking about it for a while. And it is really what the podcast player on iPhone was before they screwed it up with iOS 9. I mean, it really is. And I did the suggestions. I've been speeding it up. So playing at 1.2 with what's the name of it where you it removes spaces for you. What do they call that on Overcast? You know, where it smart. I'm having trouble remembering. Anyways, it compresses it for you, right? Wow, you can blow through podcasts super fast. Well, that way, you know, it's awesome. Yeah.
The other thing I love is when you hit skip, like I have mine set to skip ahead 60 seconds, best button ever, by the way. Yep. And if you hit that repeatedly, it starts jumping at like major minute intervals. It's not minute, it's like minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10. You can buzz through, because it's the one thing I think they're missing. You can do it on, if you're wearing your earbuds, you can press like once and then hold it down and it'll skip to the next one. They need to go to the next episode because there are times when I'm listening to like 10 minutes of a podcast and I'm like, okay, next. And there's no go to the next podcast button. So then I have to go, you know, then I just take the 60 second skip button and skip. And I blow through it pretty quickly. But yeah, so.
You were talking about Clamor just a second ago. You know, they have a new version coming out of Clamor as well for the iPhone that's going to have some improved ability to clamor right from, like, you know, what they do in Simple Podcast Press. I've asked them over there, hey, can you do, I want a player that I could just load things into that as I'm listening to the player, I hit Clamor and it automatically gives me an 18 second window right there in that spot in nice. The Clamor player. And so they've been, they rolled that out. I've been kind of testing and it's still not working exactly like I want it to, but it's there. This is, I don't say it for the feature. This is what I like about Clamor right now is they're listening.
Yeah.
You know, they're listening to what we're saying. And so it's kind of cool to be able to be a Hanny's in the same boat. I was super impressed that he jumped in last week. I thought I was available. Man, that guy is available. I mean, he Sunday night, 9:30, I'm watching the Sunday night, Sunday night football, messing around. I got a question. I sent him an email thinking he'll go back to me tomorrow morning. 2 minutes later, I got a response. I'm like, Hanny, take a vacation, man.
Yeah, the one time I asked him a question and he's like, I have a question. You have a chance to get on Skype for 2 seconds. And I did. And he's like, yeah, I've got to hurry. It was like his kid's birthday. I'm like, dude, what are you doing answering questions on your? It wasn't quite that bad, but it was something where I was like, this really
good. No, he'd do it for his kid's birthday. He'd get on a Skype call on his kid's birthday.
Jason in the chat room says, I can sometimes get Dave Jackson reply at 3 a.m. Yeah, on occasion, depending on what's going on. On a Thursday night or Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, it depends on the deal. I'm usually pretty good at turning off, you know, putting the phone on vibrate, but I have been known to hear the ding and I get up to turn it off and then I answer the question. So don't expect that. I did learn the hard way to send the, I have a phone number on my website to send that to voicemail because occasionally we get someone from Germany and I'm like, yeah, it's Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 a.m. here. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
So did we answer Classy Podcast question? Does it count as a download?
It only counts as a download if the person says, you know, whatever the button is, listen to more, hear more. Thank you, Jason. I wish, I'm not sure that's the whole thing. And I've often said it would be great if they could give us stats, like how many times, like it says, this is how many times it was listened to. How many times was hear more clicked on? That's the button I care about. I mean, I'm glad that
somebody stats. Yeah, for sure.
So that would be awesome. And there are likes, right? You can see how many times it was liked, which kind of leads you to believe that somebody's going to click on hear more, because when you do that on Clamor, when you click on hear or like, it then sends an email to you with everything that you've liked, which in theory should allow you to then click on hear more. Unless you're like me and go, really? I clicked like on that? When was that? Last Monday? Something like that.
You're like, really? Did I smart search? Oh, shoot. Smart speed is the answer to the question. What's that setting in Overcast? And while we're talking about players, we've jumped on the Overcast bandwagon, but Pocket Casts, Mike Dell mentions this in chat, Pocket Casts in my other communities, Pocket Cast is way more popular than Overcast, and it is available on all three platforms. So you can get it on Android, iPhone, and Windows Phone, as well. It has a Windows client for you, and they are sync search. You know, you play it; it goes to the next place. So Pocket Cast is another good option. They're not free; they're $4.99. At least last time I checked, they're $4.99.
Yeah.
So was Overcast up until 3 weeks ago, right? I mean, he took advantage of the mess up over there at Apple. And I think everybody's been jumping on it. But Pocket Cast, another good option for, and you know, as podcasters, I think it's important that we know what's going on with these players, because people ask for recommendations all the time. I mean, right now, what we used to do is someone would ask me, hey, how do I listen to a podcast or how do I do that? I'd say, well, if you have an iPhone, go to the podcast app. Now that we have a free option with Overcast, that's kind of the one I recommend, you know, for iPhone users from that stand. I still like Beyond Pod on Android for free, and then the upgrade. That's you know, that's kind of what I recommend. But I think it's good that you have some quick recommendations that are inexpensive for your listeners so you can get them, because you want to get them in and get them hooked. Absolutely. And you don't want them paying money right off the bat. That'll just slow down. That'll be a speed bump. That'll slow it down.
And I know Daniel had said to go to the next podcast, it's short click, long click. My problem is I listen a lot in the car, so I already have my, I don't have my earbuds plugged in. I'm listening through the speakers. Jason asked another question. Is there a particular format necessary to use the timestamp? Just, I think it's two digits, colon two digits is what I use. So, but I was really, because I was listening to Podcast Junkies and I was like, wow, these links are clickable. And I went to his website and he had done nothing. And I was like, oh, so Marco, who's the guy behind it, was calling these chapters. And I thought he meant chapters like in the old enhanced podcast with pictures kind of thing. I think he meant chapters as in timestamps. So
if you timestamp them for Simple Podcast Press, because you do, there's a little, right. you go in the into the editor and you click, there's a button you click and it makes it. Does that then, does that still work then in Overcast? If they're okay. So it works for both. So. Yeah. You could use Simple Podcast Press, use the timestamps there. That's going to work in a lot of different places. Overcast mm-hmm. will pick that up as well.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. So I was very like, wow, okay.
So much work, Dave. That is so much work listen through and get to timestamps after in post-production. Because you got to listen to the whole thing or come up with a good way to take notes during. Yeah. But if you're editing and you're truncating silence and you're doing all those things, right? Then your show times are worthless at that point. And so depending on how long your show is, you got to go back and listen to all those. I know you do that here. Sometimes you go back and listen to get the links. And if that's what you're doing, maybe it works that way. But you'd have to do it in post-production. You'd have to do it for the final edits. Make sure you get close. That's a lot of work.
And what I do, I'm trying to get the exact, because I'm on a PC, so I'm using Windows Media Player. And when you listen to a file, I'm waiting for it to come up. I know if you right click like on the actual audio file, you have whatever album art or whatever. Let me see if I can just get something to play. But you can right click on it. I think it's not under visualizations. Who would think a podcaster wouldn't have an MP3 file on his desktop to play with? Of course, if I do that, then it's going to start playing. But you can right click. I think it's under enhancements. And then you can, one of those enhancements is speed adjustment, and you can go all the way up to 2X. So I listen to Ask the Podcast Coach at 2X when I'm getting my timestamps. And what I usually do, yeah, and then I edit it first, and then I...
And Stargate Pioneer says that's one of the reasons he records his bumps between segments on a separate track. And so if you're in Audacity or Audition or whatever, and you've got a segmented show, and you've got those in different tracks on the final version, you would have all those timestamps ready for you. So you could then grab those timestamps before the final export and you'd have those available. So it's a good trick. That'd be a good way to do it. You just have to break those out into it depends on your workflow. Right? I do a live show. We don't have segments. I mean, segmenting this show, Dave, is I don't know how you do it because we weave in and out of topics. You know, we'll start a topic. It goes to the chat room. The chat room will talk about it. We'll move on. Chat room will say something, we'll bring it back. That makes it really, really hard to segment when you're doing it live. So,
yeah, I put the show notes just have, it'll say, well, here, let's go out to the one for yesterday. If we go out, yeah, this is the one with Simple Live Press. And so I'm waiting for it to come up. And so, yeah, it says at 5:30, we talk about the podcasters roundtable and it just says 8:20. Now notice on my show notes, it has them in brackets. You don't need to do that. That's the simple
podcast press
thing. There you go.
that's a great suggestion. So Classy Cup Podcast says maybe you'll set up an account on Fiverr just to listen to people's podcasts and give them timestamps.
Yeah, there you go.
He loves. This is odd. He loves writing show notes, anyways.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, you are not in the. You are the
like one in a thousand people that actually really love writing show notes. So kudos to you for that, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I like when I'm done with them, but it's the problem is that's usually the last thing. The way for most of us, it's the last thing we're doing, right? We've recorded it, we've done it. You know, it's great if you maybe you typed up the blog post first and it's done, but even that wouldn't have timestamps in it.
So you know what? Yeah, you know what works for me though is waiting a day in between. So I do all the video production, all the audio production, write the show notes, then wait a day, come back to it and listen to it all the way through. That 24-hour break kind of gives me a break from all that production work. Cause the last thing you're right, the last thing you're motivated to do at the right before you're ready to post it is listen to it again. You know, you're like, oh God, I don't want to listen to it again. But it's like writing that paper, you know, when you're in college or in high school and you wrote that paper and you can't see your edits anymore. You can't see your mistakes. You're blind to your own work. Giving it 24 hours, come back to it the next day or a day later, listen to it all the way through one more time, make sure you got everything. And I think you'll hear it through a different set of ears than you would if you were just publish right away and get it done. So it's something I don't do it every time, but when I can, it's something I do all a Friday night. I'll do all the production work. Saturday, I'll write the show notes and then listen to it in its entirety again. And that way it's been 2 days since I've done it. And I hear a lot more things in those 2 days because I've given it a break.
Yeah. Anytime many moons ago, I was the editor of the student newsletter at Stark State College, not because I'm a grammar guru, but because everybody else graduated and I was a staff writer and they went, hey, guess what? Well, you're now the editor. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, everybody else graduated. But I found out that you can't proof your own stuff. It's amazing. I write for Pottertainment Magazine and I'm amazed at, I will do that same thing. I will give it a couple days, go back over and I will still, you know, I sent my next article. I was talking about myths that you think are true, but they're not. And one of them is that George Washington had wooden teeth. Well, he had wooden teat. And I missed it completely because my brain put in the H.
When a letter matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Wooden teeth and wooden teats.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, excellent. And so Steve Stewart, who's the editor of Pottertainment Magazine, said, this one made me giggle. So I was like,
that's
yeah.
Me giggle. That's a good one.
I could see why.
That's an important letter to miss on that one.
So yeah, and and here's the thing, and I really kind of wanted to punch myself in the face in a way. It doesn't do any good to have the tool if you don't use it. And I had put out an email and somebody said, you know, I'd spelled the word dying wrong. Like I put D-I-E-ing. And I'm like, no, that's not how you spell that. It's D-Y-I-N-G, I believe is how that works. And so if you don't run spell check, it doesn't work. It only works if you run it. And I think I still have a subscription to Grammarly.com, which is a Uber kind of spell check, grammar check kind of thing. And it's cool because it's online. You just go do it, copy, paste your show notes, and it'll go, oh, what are you thinking? So I've been using that for a while. But again, if you don't use that, if you don't leave yourself time, and it's one of those like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. I just, and then you 2 days later, you look at it and you go, oh, holy cow. Mm-hmm. So I think I find I
read it differently after I post it than even when it's in.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you post it and it looks, you start looking at it on your site and it just looks different. And so I actually post it and then do a quick reread once I've posted it just to kind of make sure it formatted right. Sometimes the spacing gets kind of wonky. And so you just get that in there. And that's a good trick to go back through. I mean, not only listen to it a couple days later, go back and read your post a couple days later. You can always edit it. Right. I mean, I get hundreds of views after the first week. So it's still okay to go back and edit your stuff, even if it's been out there for a couple days. If you find a mistake in it, just edit it, fix it, repost it, save it, call it good. Sometimes I get zero reads on the post. So nobody's even reading and it doesn't really matter, you know? So just don't be so hard on yourself, but go back and fix it.
Another thing you can do, and I learned this from Ray Edwards, is print out your show notes and read them. Like read them out loud. And that's where you'll all of a sudden go like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Or you'll have words that you've repeated. Or they're just, it's weird another thing, it's just weird. Reading it on a piece of paper for me is different than reading it online. And I don't know why that is, but it is. It's like my brain picks up other things and I'm like, I'll reread. I'm like, what was I? I'm like, how did I miss that? And I'll go back and I'm like, yep, there it is right on the screen.
Yeah.
But
it'd be a great community project if you had a group, if you had a community group, maybe 5 or 6 or 10 podcasters, where you could write your show notes and quick publish them into a space somewhere. And the group would agree that if you're available and online, someone would drop in and read them and give you some sample edits. So you get a second eye, right? Oftentimes the key is a second eye. You just can't, you can't see your own mistakes, and yeah, lots of people can. So that would be an interesting crowdsourcing option if you've got, if you're in a network or you've got some folks, hey, I'll check, you send me your show notes and I'll check them, and vice versa. And the more people you get, the faster that could be and the easier it could get from that standpoint.
Of course, the bad news is most of us are typing our show notes at 3 a.m.
Well, you have to be disciplined enough or patient enough,
yeah,
to not hit the publish button the, yeah, second it's ready. I mean, you don't, it's not like the world is going to change if you publish it Tuesday versus Monday. Now, in some cases, we have very time-sensitive podcasts, and so that's a different story. If that's the case, then figure out ways to be faster. But in most of our cases, we record, I mean, I record our my podcast on Thursday. I release it Saturday, Sunday, you know, when it gets done. It's not the end of the world if it waits 24 hours to get published.
Classy in the chat room, Classy Podcast, says she heard about Hemingway Editor. I've heard about this. It's been on my list of things to talk about on Weekly Web Tools. What's the big, besides the fact that it's less cluttered, I see, as I look at it, it's at HemingwayApp.com, and apparently you paste stuff into it and it tells you, it grades your stuff. That's kind of cool. I don't know, I'll have to check that out. That could be another way of getting another set, even if it's another set of computer eyes on it.
Yeah. I have the computer read it back to you, actually. I mean, we've got great enough technology now. You could drop that thing in an audio player, and it'll just read it to you. Now, that's worse than listening to your own podcast. You can't.
Listen to your computer read your podcast. Absolutely.
Especially after you just wrote it from that standpoint. We got 15 minutes. If folks still want to jump in, we got an open seat. Love to have your question live. Jump in there and correct us. Well, we take online corrections all the time here through the chat room, right? We'll say something and somebody says, actually, no, that's not true. Yeah. And so jump in and let us know.
The other little tip you can do for checking your show notes is read it backwards. So if I were to read a comment here, it'd be amazing. It's and society podcasters, DJLs from editor Hemingway about out found I. The reason for that is you catch typos, because it's taking the context out of it, and it makes you sound really weird when you do that. So they're like, what was that? So, but that's another way where you'll catch typos. And inevitably, if you're the only one doing this on your own, you will still find something later.
You'll make mistakes. It's just so hard to get your own. Jason Bryan had said, it's just so hard to catch your own mistakes. I was doing this presentation that I've had just yesterday. This was for Gallup, and a presentation I've shown dozens of times. And a lady comes up with a napkin and says, there's 2 errors on slide 3.
Nice.
It's like, thank you for catching that. I've now shown that incorrectly to 12 different groups, and nobody said a word about it. And one, it said effing in there. I didn't mean to say effing, but that's what it, that, cause it, somewhere I must've changed that, or, you know, whatever in a sentence. And so that's a little embarrassing when you get the, hey, sir, you have 2 major mistakes in your slides. That's a little rough.
Yeah, I used to have a listener in Russia that, like, Monday afternoon, he'd be like, Dave, just so you know, paragraph 3, line 6, that's the, you know, I'm like, okay, thank you. And it was one of those, like, I, you know, on one hand, he made you feel bad. But on the other hand, I was like, well, thank you for making me, you know, help. Thank you for lessening the number of people I would look stupid in front of. So.
This gal who came up to me, this was in a university setting. So I was at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, and it was a mentoring group. So it was professors and professionals and college students. So, and they all mentor, you know, the older ladies are mentoring the younger ladies. So I have a feeling, oh, and so then she handed me her card, and she was the director of some marketing and global marketing group, you know, where that stuff really matters. And I'm just like, well, thank you for catching my mistakes. I appreciate it. It was just so cute on the napkin. So I folded up the napkin and put it in my pocket and felt embarrassed for the rest of the day.
Yeah, especially like you said, if you've done this 12 times, you're like, why didn't somebody tell me?
Well, I do it mostly for computer science students. And they're not. They're checking their phone when I have the slides up. So that's probably why it went through, you know, these last couple ones. And the second presentation is a presentation we'd actually had our learning development team put together. It wasn't one I put together. And so I knew that had been checked and double checked about 800 times. So that one went through flawlessly, but the first one was a little rough on the, but nobody else noticed. She was the only one that noticed. That's, you know, that's the thing, right? You have this guy from Russia for you. You're always going to have one or two, depends how big your audience is.
Yeah.
One or two quality people where they want to correct you all the time. And they do it very nicely, sometimes not so. And you just got to be gracious and say, thank you for that and make the changes. And then, you know, hey, here's an idea. If you have one of those, say, hey, would you be willing to, if I sent you my show notes in advance, would you correct them for me and send them back and engage them in the process, right? Yeah. And say, hey, the hours are going to suck and there's going to be no pay, but you'll get a chance to correct them, you know?
It's true. Get them involved on the front end instead of the back end.
Well, they'll make you better. I mean, there are people, we know there are people who are just quality focused. They see those things that we don't. It hurts them when we make mistakes. They're just concerned about that. Play to their strengths. Play to those things they're already good at and then engage them in a way, find a way to engage, because otherwise they're just a pain in the butt. And, you know, because they're pinging you and they're trying to be nice, but it's driving them crazy. So just get them involved in what you're doing. Find a way to get them in and say, well, fine, great. Hey, would you help me kind of do this? That's the other thing. Some of them don't want to help. They just want to complain. And when you offer for them to help in advance, it will shut them up. They'll be, oh, well, you know what? I had a chance to make a difference and I didn't, so I better not say anything. And oftentimes that kind of ends the complaining. So it's another good way to slow down those comments.
I was looking over the news this morning. Have you ever heard of Rivet Radio?
No, I haven't.
It says Rivet Radio, the smart audio platform, brings greater personalization to audio listening with the launch of a follow feature in its iOS mobile app. Apparently, sorry, Android people. Users now have the ability to follow specific topics, shows, hosts, or producers from Rivet's feed of robust audio content. Listeners can easily stay informed about what matters to them by curating their own personalized channel of followed content. Now, of course, the launch of the feature complements Rivet's expansion of its spoken word programming by giving listeners access to hundreds of course, the most popular podcasts, such as Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, This American Life, because they need more promotion, 99% Invisible, TED Radio Hour, Freakonomics, and Radiolab. So I was kind of like, okay, interesting. And I know Rob Walsh from Libsyn always says there is no such thing as a discovery problem in podcasting. But he seems to think that people think there is, but he's all like, you know, people do have a hard time finding Serial when it was on there. But
they find it. Go ahead.
We had somebody coming in and then they disappeared.
No, not so much. They do have an Android app.
Oh, do so they?
If you go to rivetradio.com, they have iPhone, Android, and Amazon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd never heard of them, but I was
like, neither.
I'll have to see what the heck that means. And then have you ever heard of Lena Dunham?
No.
She is. Okay. So basically she's on the HBO show Girls, is collaborating with bosses at the popular news website of BuzzFeed for a podcast called Women of the Hour. So you can buy, apparently in conjunction with the release of the paperback. Oh, there's what a quinky dink. I'm starting a podcast in conjunction with a paperback book, which for the record, great idea. Of the paperback version of her best-selling memoir, Not That Kind of Girl. So she's an author and an actress. And speaking of authors, welcome to Night Vale, which is a popular fiction podcast where it's kind of like old time radio. They have all the sound effects and things like that. They were working on a novel and apparently that is now released. So that's again somebody taking that relationship that you've built with your audience and now you're giving them a product to buy. And speaking of a product to buy, wow, look at me, I'm just transitioning into transition. Go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome and you can be one of our awesome supporters. I finally figured out Patreon and have been putting all sorts of extra bonus content back there. And
what does that mean, like advertising?
No, just like post show stuff. And
oh I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And anytime, if I put something on YouTube, you know, I'll save you from going over to YouTube and just put it there in Patreon and that whole nine yards. So, but it's now that I understand it, it's still a little clunky. Like it shows on occasional show that I've posted something twice. And so I'll click on one and I'll see where somebody had left a comment. And then I'll go back and click on the other one and the same comment is there, which either means that person commented on both posts or it's one post listed to, it's just wonky at this point. So, but if you're interested in that, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome and be one of our
and you awesome should
supporters.
You should. We yesterday at this conference, I had a gal come up to me and she was talking about she's a fresh graduate from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and she's working for Varsity Sports and they sell, you know, they sell one of her roles is to sell cheerleading gear, you know, to cheerleaders around. They have a she has a geographical area that she represents. And she was asking me about podcasting. And I said, you're in a perfect position to podcast, actually. So you think your job is to sell clothing, but your real job is to consult on gear and equipment for cheerleaders, right? From that standpoint. And you have access to school administrators and coaches and, you know, the cheer community. I don't know if you've, I mean, much like high school football, high school cheerleading has gotten out of control. I mean, they have events and it's expensive. And I mean, the big money is making its way into high school cheerleading. And I said to her, you know, you could become the expert on this by starting a podcast. I recommend it. She started on Blab because this is a great community to just come in and try and practice out here. And you could come in here and the folks that you're running into when you're doing what you're doing, invite them to come on. And oh, by the way, invite the captains of these high school teams that are in your region to come on and talk about their teams, highlight them, bring them in and do some things. And that was like a whole new world for her. It was like, awesome. Oh, really? I could do all these. Yeah. So we got up, gave her my card, said, hey, you know, if you have any questions, let me know. Love to help you get that started. But that's an area, you know, sometimes we think about podcasting. And actually, Jason Bryan, I know you're out there because you just tweeted. I actually referenced Jason and his work with these taking coaches shows to the podcast world. So on the football side, every football program has a coach's show on TV because that's where the money is. But Jason found a niche in wrestling where it's not happening. By the way, mate, college hockey might be that same kind of place where you might be able to start something up. It's kind of second tier and you could come in on some of the smaller schools and do something like this. But it's this idea of niche or second tier where you can come in. It's being done at a higher level, but you can come in and make it a big deal. I know for Jason's coaches, it's a big deal for them to get to talk about their program and get the word out. And they do care about their numbers. It is important for their program. So when we think about podcasting, and if you're a podcast consultant and you're helping people podcasting, those secondary niche markets where it looks like it's sales, but you can come in and really become an expert. And if you're passionate about it, like Jason is, man, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, I think there's tons of things you can do as a podcaster in those spaces to become the expert in that area.
Yeah. I Det Shepherd in the chat room says that I've had so many people comment on Jason Bryant's interview. They're like, it's a toss up between Glenn the Geek and Jason. And
well, Jason's done something that not a lot have done. In other words, he's gone volume. He's gone to the volume side. So he's got 12 or 13, right, shows that he's doing. Man, I think about 12 or 13 and I'm like, wow, that drive me over the edge from that standpoint. Now it's his full-time gig. But so here's a guy who has gone in and has done the volume option and has gotten a bunch going and has figured out efficient ways of getting that many podcasts out every week or every other week or however that works. And so not a lot of podcasters are doing that, to be honest, on a solo standpoint. You know, he's the host of all those working with the coaches. Now it makes it easier for him because it's the same topic and he's passionate about it. And he can actually use information he got in the last couple shows to bring those in to kind of get a feel for what's hot and what are people talking about. I do that when I'm podcasting at conferences and I'm doing interview after interview after interview. I might have learned something in the first interview that I bring into the fourth one when it's important because I just heard it. Right. And so it gives you that ability to, you're in the moment. And so he can do that with his wrestling podcast. So yeah, no, that was a great interview. That was the one that's, you just put that out. If you haven't gone to School of Podcasting and listened in a while, maybe it's time to go back. Dave's had some dynamite interviews out there, and I don't get paid by Dave to say those kinds of things. I'm a listener of the show, just like you all are. And so I'll pop out there if you haven't heard Jason's interview. And if you haven't listened to Glenn's interview, it's worth going back to. I mean, there's so much good stuff in that. That changed a few things in my podcasting world. That interview changed the way I did some things.
Yeah. And,
I have a mobile app because Glenn the Geek said, go out and just ask for sponsors. And I did. And it worked.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Well, hey, we're going to, now if you're new to the show and you're listening live, it sounds like we're done, but we're not really. We actually do a post show, which of course, if you miss the post show and you're listening to this, just go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome and become an awesome supporter. And different levels get you different perks. And thanks so much for the chat room. See, I always worried if you were there for the pre-show, I was talking about how we didn't have a whole lot to talk about today. And you know what? Nothing to worry about.
Not possible. Just not possible for you and me not to have enough to talk about. We've done 90 of these?
97 is what this episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah, coming up on.
Everyone is as good as the first. Which that may not be good.
I was going to say, because usually your first episode stinks. I'm like, wait a minute.
Terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
So Jim, where can everybody find you?
Everything's at theaverageguy.tv.
And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and they'll save you up on your when you sign up. And thanks to the chat room and thanks to Mike and Mike for coming in. And it's funny, Jim, because we're kind of back to just, you know, the occasional pop in. Everybody loves the chat room, which is cool. I love all sorts of interaction.
Great questions. Great questions today from the chat room. So thank you for your questions.
Absolutely. And I was laughing because I asked Addie to come in and she's like, look, I just woke up. She's on the West Coast. She's like, I'm not coming on camera. I don't think so. I wouldn't either. That is one downside of this. I have to like shower now to do the show. But anyway, so thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live.